Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is Thursday, December 7th. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, it's Give the Gift time. This is Christmas season, and we invite all the Solera Report subscribers to give someone a special free gift of the Solera Report. It will run through February 26, 2018, so they'll get all of the annual wrap-up and the big news shows of the first quarter. It's really a great thing, and especially if you want to share it with someone who you want to discuss and share the content with. So we find some very interesting things happen when we give the gift. So to give your gift, please send the name, the first and last name of the person, their address, phone number, email address. You can send that to customer service or call customer service directly. The number is 866-311-2543. We need to have your request by December 18th, so get it into us. We're about to publish both the flipbook, PDF, and a hard copy for the third quarter wrap-up Control 101. It's outstanding, and I strongly recommend you even purchase the hard copy. It's going to be available. It's available at the store now. We ought to be able to ship it out next week. It's just outstanding, and it's such a great overview of what's going on, and the control discussion goes right to the heart of the things you know if you're really going to live a free and inspired life. So I can't recommend that to you enough. And then we still have a few spots left in the second week of the Australian Outback Experience, so we just sent out an update on that, and you can see the brochure and video on the website if you're interested. Feel free to call and ask any questions. I'm happy to discuss the trip with you to make sure you understand what it is before you make a commitment. Anyway, just let customer service know what your questions are, and we'll make sure they get answered. Our theme tonight is, well, I guess it's real money. Dr. Mark Skidmore, who's been helping me with the missing money, and was the wonderful professor from MSU who got a group of graduate students and went digging through hundreds, if not thousands, of OIG documents from Department of Defense and HUD to produce the final number of the undocumentable adjustments that the government has published numbers for. There are many that they haven't published numbers for. But he, you know, I was at the time he came, got involved. I was using the number 11.5 trillion, and he has worked us all the way up to 21 trillion, which you can see on the missing money webpage that you can link to from the left column on the website. Anyway, he did a new interview this week with USA Watchdog, and I strongly recommend it. You'll, if you know a lot about the missing money, you'll laugh your head off, but no one provides a better definition of what the state, deep state, is than Dr. Skidmore, though I don't think he meant to do that. He simply described the fact that there is an enormous number of transactions that are occurring outside the Constitution and the financial management laws and are clearly not properly documented. And as you watch Greg Hunter talk with him, you realize the trance is wearing off. Finally, people are beginning to realize this is real. It's not just accounting entries. We are literally financing two civilizations out of one budget, and the undocumentable adjustments just at two agencies are now more than the total official debt of the United States. Later this week, the USA Watchdog published the interview on Sunday. Rob Kirby published a new interview talking about signs of inflation and the fact that the money's being created, as indicated by the 21 trillion, is more than people realize. Anyway, I think the trance is wearing off with respect to the money. It's also wearing off with respect to the surveillance and the related political and economic warfare. Last week, we published our new report on Bill Binney and litigation to hold the NSA accountable. Binney is the person responsible to get the information to Trump that he had been under surveillance during the campaign, and was also able to basically testify that he and his colleagues report that the intel that WikiLeaks had received was a local download. It was not a hack from a distance, and so they could document that it's a local download. When you combine that with Donna Brazile's revelations for her fear for her own safety, it's the combination has done a huge amount to blow the Russian hack the election canard. Skidmore and Binney are two examples why I've started to call 2017 the year of pushing back, because you just see so much power, powerful intellects, powerful people pushing back hard, and they've got the facts, they have the numbers, they have the details, they have the data, and they're pushing back with hard facts, and they're pushing back with a mastery of the laws and regulations, and it's wonderful to see. Money and markets. The U.S. dollar now down 8.51% for the year. That's good for exporters. Probably helped the economy a little bit. Fixed income. The long treasury is holding just fine at 8.8%. Who can believe it? And the intermediate at 2.8%. That's despite the fact that the Fed says they're going to bump rates in December. We'll see what they do. And the bond aggregate now up 3.43% for the year, and junk at 6.07. So very respectable performance by bonds, performing way ahead of the GNP, which is very disturbing. One of the themes I keep bringing back to again and again is we're seeing all asset classes this year of securities and gold outperforming the GNP by a lot. Equities, S&P now up 19.8% for the year. Home builders up 28.6. They're really rocking. The European ETF up 24%. Germany ETF up 27%. Developed markets minus North America up 22%. China backed off a little bit, now up 29.6% for the year for the large caps, 26.8% for the small caps. And the emerging markets, little bit tad ahead of China, 30.31%. As I said, you know, this is a significant outperformance to the GNP, and I think part of it is you're really seeing inflation. The QE and financial coup money is now in the process of buying up hard assets and equities, and we can expect that to translate into higher prices on commodities. So the big question, as I said last week, is the bottom in on commodities. Commodities now down, the index down 4.18% for the year. Of course, oil's come way out of the doghouse, but it's still down at 4.75 for the year. When all securities and gold outperform GNP by such significant amounts, then somebody's getting squeezed, and so far it's the taxpayer and many parts of the general population. And the reality is the current tax reform proposals, we see the Senate bill and the House bill pass. Now they're going into reconciliation. The current tax reform is designed to continue that trend, and it's clearly not sustainable without slavery and depopulation, even with massive technology. I really recommend, it was in the best books for 2017 and the best books for mind control, We're in Control 101. It's a book called Half Has Never Been Told, and it describes the whipping machine used to make the African-American slave trade highly, highly productive for the big corporate plantations. And there's a lot to be learned by studying what happened during that period and take a look at what's happening now. I have a review of it up on the website if you don't have time to read the book, but I would recommend it. More fires in California. I'm very concerned about continual and highly unnatural fires around the U.S., but also around the world. We're seeing them in Greece, Portugal. This week, Southern California tax reform will also hit California hard. California is really in the crossfires right now. If you look at the tax reform, state and local deduction is likely to be gone when the reconciliation is over. Ditto for property tax deduction over $10,000. So if your property tax is over $10,000, which tends to happen in the very high cost areas, that's going to bite. And then mortgage interest deduction over $500,000. The high income tax states are much more ballooned by QE and federal credit and spending. And we're looking at a process that is going to start to reverse some of that. In fact, I'm and a lot of this is inflation. I'm reviewing my home insurance policy to make sure I'm fully insured because I think this fire pattern is not isolated. We're going to keep seeing it happen, and it could happen anywhere in the country. Tax reform. The interview that we did, that we published this evening with Patty Kemmer, is absolutely excellent in helping you understand what the key issues are, not just for the closeout this year. What were the changes in 2017, and then what are the potential changes we expect to see coming out of the reconciliation? I strongly recommend you listen to it. There's one great tip you cannot miss. If you have important deductions that you're likely to lose in 2018, so if you're in a state with high income taxes, state and local income taxes, so if you're in New York City, if you're in LA, if you're in San Francisco, if you pay your taxes, your estimated taxes in 2017, you will lock in the deduction. If you wait till January 15th, you may lose the deduction. And for people in the high cost areas or someone with a big mortgage and big mortgage interest deductions, that's worth a lot of money. So if you're going to lose any of your big deductions, whether it's property tax, state and local taxes, mortgage interest deduction, please lock in the full deduction by paying your estimated in December this month instead of waiting till January. I published with the discussion a comparison of the House and Senate bills with current law that was published by the Heritage Foundation. You can link to it in the bottom of the Salary Report commentary, and I really suggest printing it out or reading along with the discussion, and I think it'll help you. Anyway, so tax reform between now and the end of the year, big story. Senate was planning on leaving on the 15th, the House on the 14th. They've changed that. Senate's changed it to December 22nd, and they're really going to try and push to get this done by the end of the year. It wouldn't surprise me to see them push something through with an agreement that they're going to come back and do a cleanup bill to take care of any nits and sort of mechanical problems in the first quarter. That's the way to get it through this year, is with a commitment to do cleanup in first quarter. Purges everywhere we turn, sex purges, political purges, shakedown purges. Essentially, they're all variations of what I have been saying and warning, and now it's here that we're re-engineering 2.0 and replacing 2.0 people with 3.0 automation or people. Some of it's just downsizing. But frankly, now that the coup is over, you need a different kind of person, and the people who gained power and money in the financial coup are expensive, and now they're expendable. So we see Senator Al Franken announced today he's going to resign sometime in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens. Congressman Connors has resigned. Now exploding allegations made towards the musical director at Metropolitan Opera for the last 40 years, the conductor Jim Levine. We see the Wall Street Journal drama editor suggest it could destroy the Metropolitan Opera. I think that's a little extreme. It's unthinkable that America would permit their finest opera house in America to die because of allegations on one person, no matter how important. I suspect we're looking at somebody who's planning on making a change of control. And when the dust settles, we'll have a different group on the board or a different group of funders in command. One article this week described the fact that 80+% of corporate boards have never discussed or developed a policy for sexual harassment, yet 50% or more of women say they've been sexually harassed at work. And I don't think there was a count on how many men. I don't know if there's any good surveys of how many men have been harassed. So clearly, the incident of harassment is very significant relative to what the board wants to know or think about. Actually, I think companies should be a lot more focused on what their core mission is. But, here we go. We're going to have to spend time figuring out how to have productive cultures. Expect a lot more sex purges and shakedown purges. I would describe Saudi Arabia as a shakedown purge. Everybody hands over 70% of their money, and finally they can get out of the Ritz-Carlton prison. None of this is going at the core of the corruption so far, from what I can see. It's simply re-engineering the expendable, more expensive older people out, again, who rose during the coup period. Mueller is probably the worst purge meister going. His scope of work was to find collusion with the Russians during the campaign, and he appears to be spending a great deal of time and money doing everything but that. The Wall Street Journal even started tracking his expenses, $3.2 million so far. And that's the kind of number, tiny as it is compared to $21 trillion that's missing, that really irritates middle America. The targeting and settlement with Flynn is so disgusting, it's very hard to find words to describe it. What I would recommend is, if you're interested, read David Stockman's excellent piece on the topic. He did a really fine analysis of describing how absolutely outrageous this is. Paul Craig Roberts also did one. Sibella Edmonds has been covering it regularly, so there are a lot of people doing some pretty good work to show you how ridiculous it is. Mueller was supposed to, as I said, investigate compromise of the campaign. In addition to Flynn, his indictments of Manafort and his colleagues are, they just don't involve anything having to do with the campaign. Now, in theory, Mueller's trying to squeeze these people with various prosecutions and indictments on the theory they're going to give up information on Trump. The whole thing just looks so sleazy and off topic. And as I said earlier, if you look at what Binney has been able to document and get out into the public, and get to the president and have the president's people get it out to the public, as well as Donna Brazile's book, everybody can see that the Russian, you know, the idea of serious Russian collusion on the campaign is a canard. So, you know, so that is pulling the rug out from under Mueller, although he's doing a very good job of doing it themselves. The other thing is, we continually see story after story documenting lies by a whole variety of people in the FBI Department of Justice. And I think this discomfort with the kind of Sheriff of Nottingham behavior that's been going on is growing every day. This week, I donated a small amount to the Flynn Legal Defense Fund. You can just do a search and find it easily. Please remember, every dollar you give is a prayer. So if you can only donate a dollar, if you can only donate $5, each amount just says, we care. And really, it's a prayer. I used to find myself in, I joined this wonderful African-American church in Washington where I studied spiritual warfare, and I would literally have, you know, an 80-year-old church mother come up and, like, put a quarter in my hand and says, I'm praying for you. Anyway, but many tiny dollars count. It has a very powerful impact and momentum, and the donors who can afford to spend large amounts of money notice the tiny donations. So if you're inclined, read David Stockman's article and go to Flynn Legal Defense Fund. And if you can only afford a dollar, give him a dollar. It's a prayer. Anyway, if they can't corner and isolate someone like Flynn, profound change can result. I'm sure the reason Flynn did the deal is he ran out of money. He just couldn't afford to keep spending. His attorney's one of the most expensive in the world, Covington & Burling. He can't afford to keep funding them up against someone who literally has an infinite amount of capacity to just burn his time and energy. And this is the way he protects his son and his family, by cutting a deal. And latest announcement is he's selling his house. So it's a pretty ugly thing to do to a guy in this position, particularly if they're able with this agreement to pull his pension, his government pension fund. So let's see what happens. One of the last purge questions is the Clintons, giving the rising concern about Clinton ties to Russia and the corruption in the Uranium One deal. My understanding is Attorney General Sessions is looking at the persecution of the Bundy family. It would be wonderful if they would pull the plug on the persecution of the Bundy family. There's growing anger over the corruption, and the Democrats have clearly decided to throw the Clintons under the bus. And the question is, how far will it go? It just seems to me that if you look at the rolling purges, they're going to have to feed more than a few dirty politicians to the crowd to satisfy the mob. So let's see what happens. Russia continues to build independent systems. I think this is going to be one of the most important stories this year. When Dr. Farrell and I sit down to look at what's happening, we see Russia announcing recently that it's going to start a new independent internet for the BRICS. Clearly, they don't trust neutrality either, or anything else going on with the United States and the Western worlds when it comes to digital systems. They've announced they're doing a ruble cryptocurrency. We see a yuan ruble payment system. Bank of Russia creating a foreign representative office in Beijing. Now the announcement of a new gold trading network that Russia, China, and the BRICS are going to do. It's going to be all the BRIC nations working together on it. Clearly, much greater focus on increased food self-sufficiency as a result of the sanctions. And then an announcement over the last week that they're launching local voting systems on blockchain. And that came before Putin announced this week that he's going to run again for another six-year term in 2018. That means he's going to remain in office till 2024. With Putin in office straight through, you're going to see a tremendous continuity to build out these kind of independent systems. And it's a very significant development, and I think it's long term, it's going to make a very powerful change in the world and the shift to the multipolar world if they achieve the kind of integration of all the BRIC nations that they're pushing for. Of course, the question is if they tie their new cryptocurrency to gold. The Russians have been buying very significant amounts of gold since 2007. And if they tie their new ruble cryptocurrency with gold, particularly if the gold is not all in Russia but spread throughout the BRIC nations, it's going to be a very powerful currency on the global scale. So continue to watch that, because the shift to the multipolar world is here. And the question is, will the New World Order digital currencies come out of the BIS, or are they going to come out of the gold trading networks in the BRICS nations? My guess is they're working that the BRIC nation gold trading network is working with the BIS, is what I would predict. I think the Swiss would have a very powerful role in that syndicate, if you will. Well, unfortunately, the Make Israel Great Again plan is once again rearing its head with the Trump administration. The president has announced he's recognizing Jerusalem as the Israeli capital and plans to move the embassy there. To me, this is a clear violation of international law. And I just think the open ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people continue. And I almost wonder if this isn't part of the Mueller squeeze on Trump, sort of who's squeezing him and how are they squeezing him. Could be coming with the tax reform bill as well. And I'm also wondering if this is why there were endless attacks on Tillerson, if Tillerson hadn't been constantly attacked for the last couple months and put in the corner, would he have talked the president out of this? As Congresswoman McKinney says, the Ziocons are out of control. The question is why. It looks to me like Israel is going to continue to overplay their hand, and it's going to end up poorly for them. The question is, it could make things much worse, even destroy the United States, if we're not careful. So it's a very ugly picture, and the question for many, many people is, how do we get the Ziocons back in the box? Because it's arguably the biggest problem in Washington, and it gets back to what extent did the $21 trillion missing money go into their coffers and turn them drunk with power? Gun control legislative nightmare. We've seen two bills working their way through the Congress. One of them would extend carry privileges across the country. So it's the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017. The other is an effort to beef up the National It's called the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, or NICS. Here's the reality. We don't need any changes to NICS. The problem with the Texas shooting is the Air Force didn't obey the NICS. So there's plenty of law in place. If everybody would just obey it, we don't need more laws. We've had 50 years of not obeying the law, and so instead we pass new laws that makes it harder on the honest people while the criminals continue to just misbehave. So it's the wrong response. You know, it's attacking the symptom in a way that creates more symptoms instead of doing anything about the problem. Unfortunately, they're trying to tie the bill together to get them to get the NICS change through. And the question is, what will happen? The House has passed something out where they combine them. It doesn't look like it's going to make it through in the Senate, so we'll see what happens in the Senate. There's a lot of bipartisan support for the NICS bill in the Senate, so the Senate could, with that bipartisan deal, peel off the carry and pass the NICS, and the gun people will really have been hurt by the fact that everybody was paying attention to tax reform while this snuck through. The FCC votes on net neutrality on December 14th. I talked about this last week. The progressives are working very hard to try and stop the FCC and plan, if they kill net neutrality, to take it into the courts and elsewhere. So the fight is far from over. I tend to be with the progressives on this side. The Corsi wrote an article for InfoWars saying this is stupid. The private markets will take care of it. If certain ISPs shut people out, everybody will go to other ISPs. I don't believe there is a market in telecommunications in this country or IT. I believe we've got big oligarchs and monopolies, and they're very dangerous. And the notion that the free market's going to take care of it is just not true, unless the free market is we all leave and get on the BRICS system. Steve Roche, who is one of the economists in the world I admire the most, put out a warning on Bitcoin. He teaches now at Yale. He used to be at Morgan Stanley. We did a great interview with him about China. One of his latest books on China is, to me, if you want to understand China and what's happening in the global economy, it's a must read, and that's a great interview. I recommend it to you highly. We saw the price smash on Bitcoin through 17,000 and then drop back. It's trading a little bit over 15,000 right now, which of course is a huge increase for the year. The Bitcoin people are, you know, dreaming with visions of sugar plums dancing in their head. They're so happy about the price. Anyway, Roach came out and called it a dangerous speculative bubble. It absolutely is. We're seeing also big hacks. The largest crypto mining exchange confirmed it was hacked. 62 million in Bitcoin gone. So, you know, the encryption is not secure. The blockchain is not secure. Nothing about this system is secure. So if you play with it, just understand you're playing with fire. Where I disagree with Roach, and if you'll hear my argument when Harry Blaser and I recorded Bitcoin Up, which I strongly recommend you listen to, I think it is much cheaper to take the price of Bitcoin to the moon and get all these software developers, dreaming of freedom and making gugobs of money. It's cheaper to run the price up to $100,000 than it is to hire all those software developers and get them inventing your new world order currency for you. And of course, this is sucking huge money away from gold and land and other things, it's wonderful for the central banks because you're trying to keep inflation down while all the smart money is buying all the land and gold. So, this is sucking up a lot of money. And the market is so, if you look at the ownership of Bitcoin, it's so concentrated and consolidated. It's a very illiquid market, so it's easy to run the price way, way up. Anyway, please listen to Bitcoin Up and manage your position like a speculative bubble. And just remember, hacking is rife. So please keep it in a hard wallet offline and just be very, very careful when you do transactions. The other things is, for God's sakes, pay your taxes and file currency transaction reports if you're trading, if you make a transaction over 20,000. We did a special Solera report on cryptocurrency taxation issues, and I recommend that to you strongly. Just do a search at solera.com on taxation. We just published it about a month ago, and I'm sure you can save you from having a massive control file or tax bill. Alabama Senate race, just to the south of Tennessee, there's quite a war going on in Alabama. My expectation is that Roy Moore will win the Senate race, but it's very close. He's got Bannon and the president's endorsement, but just about everybody else has thrown the book at him. He's gotten the really, he's gotten the Ziocon 101 treatment. He's got a well-funded last-minute third-party candidate and a stream of ancient sex allegations, including Gloria Allred. Whenever she shows up, that's when I really say, okay, this is yeah. Anyway, I'm rooting for Bannon and Moore. I've given Moore two tiny donations. I think we need those kind of voices in the Senate. And I'd like to see Bannon get some real legs underneath him and some real energy for his efforts, because I think he's bringing up and talking about a lot of the right issues. I don't always agree with him, but I think he's a positive player on the political stage and could make the 2018 elections quite interesting. The Supreme Court is hearing the Colorado wedding cake case, which it's a fascinating discussion to read the reports of what's going on. This is the Colorado company for religious objections that wouldn't make a wedding cake for a gay couple, and the gay couple promptly went out and sued, and it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. I'm one of those people who believe private business, you should be able to reject any customer for any reason. So when markets are free, one business's rejection is another business's opportunity. And I think when you have the state try to micromanage our individual energy, it's just not going to work. And especially where religious beliefs are involved. I'm a bit on these kind of topics, I'm a bit of a libertarian. So people have beliefs and feelings, and optimization occurs from authentic action and communication. And when the state tries to dictate what you ought to believe and what you ought to think and how you feel, it just, it's not going to work. And if you look at what's going on in the world, it's not working. So let's try. My attitude is let's try freedom and free markets. And if we disagree about things or we're discriminating in our feelings or attitudes towards each other, let's just talk it out and fight it out. But each person should be free to go where they want, do what they want. And I just think a private business should be free to reject any customer for any reason. Anyway, I'm very curious to see what happens. It's a Supreme Court case. I think it's worth watching, and not just to see what they decide, but what their discussion of the different issues between the rights of religious freedom and the right to believe what we want versus the obligations of a private business to their customer. Our hero this week are all the folks pushing back. So I've talked about Dr. Mark Skidmore, I've talked about Bill Binney, but there are plenty of good people. Stockman, David Stockman, Paul Craig Roberts, Ray McGovern, former CIA, and on and on and on. You hear many of their names, or I get them on the Solera reports. But as one good subscriber said this year, one great subscriber said, it occurs to me it's riskier now to do nothing than it is to do something. Anyway, so it is. It's gotten much. The middle of the road is disappearing. You're on one side or the other, and you see some real talent punching back, and punching back together. They're teaming up and collaborating and punching, and it's a lot of smart, talented, capable people. They're out of the corner, and they're saying, "We've had it. We're punching back." It's a great feeling. So that's been one of the many delightful things about this year. Let's go to the movies. Because we were talking about taxes, I wanted to have you watch one of the documentaries on offshore taxes, just because it's important to understand what a major impact it had that so much money during the financial coup was floated and shifted offshore. And now, as you bring that money out of the fixed income markets into equities, hard assets, you're going to The question is, are we going to see serious inflation? And of course, what governments want to know is how are they going to get their money? A lot of what this tax bill was about is trying to get taxes collected on all the money, the corporate money that's piled up offshore. That's different than necessarily the money in the havens, but it's fascinating. Of course, the United States is trying to build itself up as the new offshore haven of choice. But it's such an extraordinary explosion of money into the offshore havens during that period. It's really had a significant impact on shifting power and money throughout the world. And that offshore network was very, very important to the this aspect of financing two civilizations out of one budget. The interview this evening with Patty Kemmer, a CPA from Kemmer Schooley in Northern Virginia, is absolutely excellent, delightful. It really sorts out what's going on with the not just changes in the law in 2017, but the current proposals both in the House and Senate and how they're likely to reconcile. Please make sure there's one wonderful tip that I was not aware of, and Patty made me aware of is. If you file your estimated federal taxes this month, you can lock in any deductions that you might lose next year. And if you go through and listen, the chances of losing that state and local income deduction is very real. I live in a state where there's no state income tax, but for those of you who live in states with big income taxes, that could make a big difference on your taxes this year. So I'd really encourage you to listen. It's a very, very good overview, and it's hard to say that listening to tax changes is delightful, but Patty's always very delightful to talk about, very clear, very coherent, and an excellent CPA. So I hope you enjoy it. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Ancillary team, thank you for your wonderful work. It is you who we trust and turn to better understand these things. This morning, somebody sent us the blown message off of Facebook, and it was very alarming. It states the tax reform bill that just passed the House will remove deductions from small businesses such as advertising, continuing education. There's a long list. It goes on to suggest that folks call their senators. Is this true? It is astonishing to think that it passed the House. Do you know if this is accurate? Hi, Catherine. Here's more. Below is another post someone forwarded, which states the following deductions have also been removed: state taxes paid, mortgage interest, student loan deduction, medical expenses. If this is true, not good. Okay, so I strongly recommend you listen to the interview. First of all, the small business description is not accurate. What was lost in the House was employee deductions, not the there's some deductions lost to small business. But the long list is really employee deductions, if you're deducting on your personal taxes related to a business. Where deductions are lost on small business or business, lower rates are expected to offset. And there's some really interesting things that are pretty delicious, like 5 years for expensing equipment instead of having to amortize it. Where the big bite is going to come, there are a couple places where there's a big bite. As I said before, state and local income to tax deduction will probably be lost. Property taxes above $10,000 a year, so if you're in a high-cost area, that's going to bite. And mortgages above $500,000, so that's going to bite if you've got a big jumbo mortgage. What I don't know will come out of the sausage factory is where they'll come out on student loans. They had cut the student loan interest exemption and had cut the tuition waiver for graduate students who in exchange for their work get free tuition. And that's very disturbing. But where they'll come out on the Senate, I don't know. There is significant relief on estate taxes, and that's going to be very valuable for small business people and farmers in middle America who've built up quite a net worth from the value of their businesses or the value of their real estate and land, and who will end up without those changes paying an enormous inflation tax, which to me is terribly unfair. So there's big relief coming on the estate taxes. So be careful how you look at the descriptions, and that's why I would really recommend you listen to the interview, because Patty goes with it through great care. The only place where I would be alarmed is I would be alarmed if I was impacted on the student loans. I'd hate to see that go through. If you're paying huge state and local income taxes and big property taxes, you know, I've seen people who have $25,000 to $50,000 or more property taxes, you're going to, you know, this is going to bite. I have a favorite subscriber who I refer to as Rebel Commander, who is in or near Ventura County, and I wanted to read some of the things he sent this year. This week, because I'm very concerned about the fires in Ventura County. Waking up to two huge fires in Ventura County, the Santa Paula fire went grew to 30,000 acres in just a few hours. It would usually take a full day or more for that kind of explosive growth to just a few hours. This is burning through hills and farmland and homes, similar to the Northern California fires of a month ago. It's not uncommon for fires to break out during a Santa Ana wind like we're having now. But to get to 30,000 acres in just a few hours, that I've never seen before. As always, living a free and inspired life. All the best, Rebel Commander. It's up to 46,000 acres now, started 9 hours ago. Waking up to bigger fires, some things are definitely odd about these fires, and some oddity shares with the Northern California fires. Firemen saying, I've never seen anything like this in 20 years. Always an interview blaming the winds that carry burning embers, quickly spreading fires that are 0% contained. Only certain homes and attractive homes burning while others completely untouched. Water planes and chopper grounded due to high winds. Never have seen this before. A huge high pressure system producing an 8-day Santa Ana wind event. 3 is normal. And one of the fires grew to 25,000 acres in 9 hours and then doubled in the subsequent 24 hours, meaning it grew much faster than every fire I've ever experienced here in California. Now a growing fire in upscale Brentwood, 405 completely closed. Disaster capitalism, Operation Phoenix, you could be right. All the best, dear Catherine, Rebel Commander. Anyway, I'm sending prayers. One of the people we work with closely is very near the fires, and I'm very concerned. Hi, Catherine and Solaria team. We ran across an article about FoodCoin and made us uneasy, a cryptocurrency for food. I told you they're going to try and connect food up with this stuff. It's definitely one of the things that that certain factions are angling for, in my opinion. We wanted to pass along a link and wonder if you know anything about this. I don't know anything about it, but I will check it out further, and I've forwarded it to some others. Thank you again for your excellent work. Then someone sent in an interview of Robert Dean, which I posted. Robert Dean is a whistleblower in the UFO area, former military and I think Homeland Security. Absolutely terrific man and a great interview. It's up on the website. Hello, I'm sending a link for Catherine and the team's information about AI, the blockchain, and the recent announcement about Sophia being granted citizenship. Sophia is a robot who was granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia. At 1518 on the video, there are comments by a hacker who speculates that Bitcoin may have been created by AI for AI. Nope. Nope. He also states that the Saudis have invested heavily in Bitcoin farms and that they have connected AI or robots to the blockchain to farm Bitcoin. The reason they gave Sophia citizenship is because they will pay robots and thus have the rights through taxation for the bitcoins that are created by the AI. It is further stated on the video that the EU is floating proposals to call robots electronic persons. The hacker and the creator of Sophia also explained that the robots are connected through a cloud that gives them immediate access to each other's learning, so they learn instantly from each other. Connecting robots to the blockchain means they have an unlimited network now that they will control. The hacker says the humans will not be able to crack their private codes once they are developed. Facebook already had to shut down its experiment with AI because it started writing its own language that Facebook could not control. Here's a link to the video. The total video is about 29 minutes. Yes, it's very creepy. AI, my concern about AI, not only can it go out of control, but it can also be used as a front where people can say, oh, it wasn't us that made that decision, it was the machines. So, one, yes, it can go out of control, but two, it can also be the perfect front. If you haven't read the great book review that Gore Skinner did about of Weapons of Math Destruction by Kathy O'Neill. I strongly recommend it. It published about 4 or 5 weeks ago. My concern is obviously blockchain and cryptocurrency can highly centralize depending on how you do it. Believe it or not, a real problem first brought up by Elon Musk, but I agree with this. It gives mechanisms for interdimensional control, and that's very, very dangerous. So the reality is AI and its application is going to be accelerating dramatically over the next 10 years. I don't see any intelligent effort to really, certainly top down, to stop it or contain it. And so I think we're going to really struggle with this over the next 10 years. Also, you want to learn about quantum computing, because we're going to create a class society. One group has quantum computers and AI financed with attacks on the general population through government policies or subsidy. And so we're going to be paying for it, and they're going to be using it to control us. And it's part of what's been creating the class society. And it's one of the reasons I'm so concerned about money being accessed through the federal budget outside the Constitution and the financial management laws, because we are giving them an infinite amount of money outside the law to create a class society because they have the technology and we don't, and we're funding it. So you got to shut off the money. I mean, it's very, very simple. So that's why if you read the last two wrap-ups, Enforce the Constitution and Control 101, hopefully you start to see why this issue of enforcing the appropriation clause and the financial management laws are so important. Because if we give them free capital to finance advanced technology that they can use to control us, and we continue to finance it, you know, there's no way out of that box. You got to shut off the money. Hi, Catherine. As a student of your Solaria University, after almost a year of subscription, I'm seeing an area that connects to what you're addressing but have not addressed. And then they go into an example of the use of mental institutions as a sort of new kind of gulag in their area, and suggested I read a book. I don't know a lot about that subject. I stay as far away as I can from anything having to do with psychiatrists and mental illness. I certainly am not a follower of Scientology, but they've absolutely nailed what's really going on with psychiatry in this country. Anyway, the subscriber recommended a book called The Mind Stealer: Psychosurgery and Mind Control. So I've purchased a copy, and I look forward to taking a look at it. I've certainly seen mental institutions used in a variety of funny ways for mind control programming or war on drugs. You know, the very same people who are bringing in the drugs and marketing the drugs to kids are then using the mental institutions to cycle the kids through, when the clear solution to the problem is just, you know, stop marketing drugs. Anyway, unfortunately, the use of our healthcare institutions, I'm afraid, is not always to create more health. Well, that's it for this week. The news continues to be explosive, and so there's much more delicious and interesting and fascinating content up at Solari. The News, Trends, and Stories team continues to do a great job in keeping us fresh and up to date. So throughout the holiday season, I hope you take advantage of their filtering of really the top news. They do a great job. Okay, next week, an absolutely outstanding interview. You have to hear it. Sally Fallon and Harry Blaser at the Weston Price Conference up in Minneapolis. It's an incredible interview. Sally Fallon is one of my great heroes. The Weston Price Foundation is absolutely incredible. One of the things Harry talks about with Sally is all the different innovations and things that they have accomplished over the last couple of decades. It's an amazing group. I always tell people, if you want to find the really cool people locally, go find the local Weston Price Club in your area. Sally's an amazing person and continues to just make great things happen for all of us. And Harry does a great job interviewing her, and she makes some startling startling comments about what's really going on. I was surprised, and you could, it's a real shift. Sally Fallon is really coming out of the closet with what she really thinks. Anyway, it's a fantastic interview, very inspiring, and will encourage you to eat healthy during the holidays. Then we go into the 2-week period when we do the Best of the Soleri Report for the holidays. We have the Best of the Soleri Report, the 2017 wrap-ups, where we go and revisit and walk you through the wrap-ups for December 21st. We're going to make new special Just a Taste to kind of overview and umbrella them. And then December 28th, Best of the Soleri Report, Enforce the Constitution. That was one of the themes of the year. Enforce the Constitution, particularly the Appropriations Clause. Okay, January, as when we roll into the annual wrap-up, we're going to be focused on pension funds. Our tentative title is, Does Your Pension Fund Have a Deep State Problem? Does the deep state have a little hook into your pension fund? So more on that as we get closer to the annual wrap-up. So it's a great lineup. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.